Welcome back, everyone, to a marvelous Friday here. This is an exciting week here at Literary Escape because the championship round for March Madness Book Club Style begins today. Be sure to open your newsletter and cast your final vote for a chance to win the championship series. Our next Coffee and Books event will be on April 20th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Authors Karen Whitmire, Jody Basie, and Sarah Sundin will be joining us for a live Q&A session. This event is free, but you will need to register to attend, and you can do so by clicking the link in this blog post. So come enjoy an hour with some of your favorite authors. And authors, we have a deep dive into Scrivener scheduled for April 3rd from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sarah Turnquist gave us a brief overview of Scrivener in February. Author and editor Liz Tolsma will be providing a deep dive into Scrivener so you can efficiently maximize its potential as an author. This training is free for HCRW members and $17 for non-members. Just click the link in this blog post to join us on April 3rd at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to share this big announcement again in case you missed it last week. You will not see much of us on social media moving forward. Because of our Christian content, we are constantly throttled to the point very few of our followers see our post, and it takes a lot of time for me to create images, videos, verbiage for the posts, and then schedule them all, only to have them not reach our followers. So this is quite frustrating on my end. I don't have control of social media, but I can control my newsletter list. So please, if you have not signed up for our newsletter and you want to keep up with what we are doing and offering at Literary Escape, you will want to sign up now. Receiving our newsletter once a week is the only way to ensure you don't miss anything. And of course, feel free to share. We'd love to connect with more readers and writers like you. And you can sign up for our newsletter at www.literaryescape.com/newsletter. Now let's head into this fun book discussion. Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. All right, I'm really excited this week to dive into the second book of Lynn H. Blackburn's series, Dive Team Investigations, and this week we are going to discuss Into Deep.
How do you choose between loyalty and the truth? When the Carrington County Sheriff's Office dive team is called in to recover a body from a submerged car, they aren't prepared to find an encrypted laptop or an unsettling connection between investigator Adam Campbell and the dead accountant. Adam turns to his friend Dr. Sabrina Fleming to recover the files from the laptop. But the deeper they dig, the deadlier the investigation becomes. When evidence implicates members of Adam's own family, he and Sabrina will have to risk everything to solve the case. The truth could set hundreds free, but someone is willing to do whatever it takes to silence anyone who threatens to reveal their secrets.
This one's good. This one was, like, it had, thanks. Again, it's kind of like when we talked to Lynn, she talked about she has, like, heavy topics in all of her books, right? Mm-hmm. And this one, pretty heavy, too. But she has, because she brings Jesus into it, there's so much hope and inspiration yes. in it. So let's just start off with, and we won't say what the message was, but what was your reaction to the message that was written on the victim's body when they pulled it out of the lake?
My heart fell because, I mean, we have an introduction to Adam in the first book. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't think for a minute that he's badly involved in a way, but just to have that connection to to kind of put yourself in his shoes and pull up to a scene like that and then have your name and then know that you, that meeting, it just, I felt for him, like my heart hurt.
The guilt that he felt.
Yeah.
And he had never even met that woman before, right? And the fact that because he comes from money, right? He's worked so hard to earn the respect of his, for his, I mean, he started at the bottom and worked his way up into it. And then to see that it could all crumble for him, right? I don't know. It was interesting. And then I put like, what a hook. Cause then I'm like, I've got to find out what's going on here. Right. Yep.
How was
the
he
message
connected?
Was like astonishing. I don't know. And I thought, what a great way to start the story too. But so on page 29, Lynn, she's so good about putting in these little messages. She does this great reminder that we must trust God because we will never fully understand his ways. Did you have any thoughts when you read that? Or like as you were reading, was that kind of like a soothing or affirming for
it
you?
It was. It is hard to remember in that moment. Like, but just knowing that God is sovereign, like God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's there. Mm-hmm. It's a good reminder.
Yeah. I say it's hard for us because we want to know why. I mean, even as kids, we wanted to know why, right? I mean, like you think about the toddler years with your kids with the why? Mm-hmm. Right. And you're like, because I said so. It's just the way it is, right? Like you get like irritated with the why. But then think about how many times we turn around and say that to God.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Right? And he doesn't get irritated like we do, right? When we're like, if that kid says, ask me why one more time, right?
Yeah.
But we have to remember he's the creator of everything, including us, right? And we'll never know as much as he does but we can trust he knows what's best, right? And when I read it, I was reminded of Matthew 7:11, where Jesus says, if you then, being evil, talking to us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? It just made me go, okay, I don't know why that section took me back to that verse, but it made me just think, okay, I think it's just a reminder. He is God sitting in heaven. He is good and perfect and holy.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. How dare I question?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How dare I question what he's put in place? I may not like it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I know he's got it.
But like we keep saying, like the way she writes is not preachy. But this series had so many relatable, like in your face snippets, but I never once felt like I was being looked down on or preached to or like, oh, like berating myself. It was almost like a camaraderie.
Like, yeah, I've been there. Like, yes. I've been questioning.
Like,
and sometimes it's just like this moment of pause and reflection for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you felt, but all right. So I love this. So Gabe and his teasing. You know, in the first book, he was flirting with Sabrina to try to get Adam to like man up, right? And tell her how he felt about her. So here he kind of interrupts them a little bit and she leaves the room. And Gabe, he goes, what on earth, dude? You can't bust a move on the girl when she has a concussion. And then, you know, Adam's like horrified, like, oh, I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And then Gabe just starts laughing. His humor just makes me love him more. I didn't know what your reaction was to that.
I laughed. I was laughing.
And then there's this explosion that happens. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. So this book just kept going. It was just like, oh my goodness.
Like, shock after another.
Yeah. If I'm part of the trust there.
Mm-hmm.
One word was spoken and they were moving.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know why that part struck me, but just the loving trust between them that nobody asked questions. And
yeah, they're like a core group of friends.
Yeah.
They had each other's back and you're right. Just total trust. You're right. It was one word.
One word and out.
That's what saved them. But still that explosion, I was like,
wow.
World. It came out of nowhere. I should have been expecting it, but. And then what did you think of Sabrina's reaction seeing Adam's back? So let me see. Because everyone's like just going, you know, really kind of coddling her and saying, he's fine. He's fine. He'll be fine. And then she actually
sees it. Where did it go? Because Leah is, she goes, she turned, she saw his back and she turned on Leah. You said he was okay. Like she was mad.
Yeah.
And she goes, he is. And she, Leah reached for her arm, but Sabrina pulled it away. There is nothing okay about that. Sabrina could hear the hysteria in her own voice, but she couldn't seem to find any way back to a rational thought. I thought you just checked him out. I saw blood. Bree, Adam's voice cut through her rant. She turned back to him. You told me you were fine, she said. You've been sitting in the lab and working, and so have you, he said. I'm not, I don't have... She didn't even know how to describe Adam's back. No, you just have a concussion and stitches, Adam said. But that looks worse than it feels, he spoke in a soothing tone. But it only annoyed her more. I don't believe you. And then she turned to like go at Leah again because she was so upset. And like it says, they were all gone. When had everyone disappeared? Chickens. I mean... When I read it, I thought totally the same reaction I would have. I don't know about you, but
yeah.
I also just a quick again, because I love all the little nuggets that Lynn put in there. Sabrina thanks God for pursuing her, mm-hmm. which we had that reminder in Leah's story or Lee or Leah, however you want to say it, in her story about how God relentlessly pursues us yeah. because he wants us. I just loved that reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what's so amazing about this series. Like throughout the series, as a group,
yes,
they pray. So what did you think about that?
I absolutely loved it. It's mm-hmm. I think it's one of the things that made me love this series.
Yeah.
It just, when they come together, it's like, I mean, yeah, because when we're together with our family and mm-hmm. a lot of our friends, we pray before a meal, we yeah. do all this. But it's not common when you're out and about with a group of friends for everyone to start praying, like
yeah.
to pray together or even to pray over a meal with a group of friends. Mm-hmm. Like it's always those certain people. And I know yeah. they had their core group, but just for them to... normalize yeah. prayer in a modern society.
Yeah.
In modern culture. It was just.
And it was always at a yeah. time when it's like, we're at the end of us.
Yes.
And we need you to take over, God.
Yeah.
Not that he wasn't. I think they were good about always letting him, but they were, you know, mm-hmm. working out these details and trying to figure out and trying to keep everyone safe. And it's like, I'm at a loss. I'm yep. at a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would gather and pray about it, which I think I loved yeah. it.
But when you don't know where to go, look up. And this book consistently, mm-hmm. like the series just consistently, God, I mean, all of your Christian ones do. But for mm-hmm. this one, it was like to see that, like you said,
yeah.
we're at the end of us. Where mm-hmm. do you go? You go to God.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought it was a great example of how we should live, going to God first.
Yeah.
Right. There's nothing like having a group of friends that you can count on for prayer. And you may not. I think in this day and age, it's harder. Like this is obviously fiction and it's set up that they're working together on a case. So they're constantly in each other's presence. Right. We're not always in our friend's presence, yeah. our prayer partners that we can say, hey, but I know that I've got a group of prayer warriors that I can reach out to and say, I need prayer for this. And yeah. I know they're going to be praying for yep. me. Right. And so that's kind of where we're at. Like, I know that if you reach out to me, I'm going to be praying. And if I reach yeah. out to you, you're going to be praying.
Absolutely.
But we may not always be physically
together
in each
daily.
Other's presence.
Yeah.
Right. And so... because part of me felt a little guilty, like I should mm-hmm. do this more. You know what I mean? But then I'm yeah. like, but I'm never like
in that setting
with, yeah, my core people all the time.
Yeah.
We're so spread out, you know, but yeah. we can still make it happen. But yep. anyways, okay. Leah's intervention where she's basically, Sabrina keeps like denying that her and Adam have feelings for each other. Mm-hmm. And then Leah is like, she goes, yeah, see, I think that might be where you two need a little bit of intervention because you've sure been acting like you're together. And she's mm-hmm. like, we're just friends.
Yeah.
And she kind of goes on and kind of nudges her a bit. I didn't expect Leah to be so direct.
Well, she scolded her and it was great. Like mm-hmm. it was that. And but Sabrina is so like she needed it. I think that was the only like she... like even in both places, I was just like, you know, she lovingly put her in her place. Mm-hmm. Like she needed to hear like, come on, like this is more than what you say it is. And
yeah,
and almost in a how dare like give Adam more credit way, like wake up.
Yeah. And do you feel like when you read Sabrina's character, do you feel like she's on the spectrum?
To like, a point.
High functioning.
Yeah.
Just there's just little things about her that I'm like, oh yeah, she just has some tendencies there, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But I love her to pieces. Yeah. She's a wonder. I loved that character.
I gotta say, I feel like I related to her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just that feeling of not quite fitting in or just kind of always being your own.
Her whole thing, like she doesn't, she can't read emotion.
Yeah.
And she can't pick up on.
Yeah.
Like some of those social cues, like that's a big struggle for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Adam, I need you to be direct. I need, and can you please like sarcasm? It doesn't go well with her. She struggles with it. Those are the things that made me go, ooh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's the educator in me going, oh yeah. Okay. What did you think about all the clues their victim left behind to help them solve her murder?
She was smart. Like she knew exactly how to get what information to the right people. Like she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm. And she knew they were going to nix her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, her time was running out.
Yeah.
And she went through some crummy stuff herself, but, and I don't want to say too much, just as evidence they found, of crud that she went through because she was doing the right thing. Right. I just thought it was amazing and brave what she did to just ensure that people got the help they needed.
Yeah.
And I can't go beyond that. Otherwise we give away spoilers.
Yes.
But yeah, the way she thought things out and, it was just amazing. I always think, would I be that smart?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hope to never be in that situation, but if I were like, would I have been smart enough
something specific
and to write a message on your body, knowing when it's finally found.
Yeah. Like knowing that if
it'll kick, it'll
you're
trip
reading
something.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I love this line that she put in the book. We talked a little bit about it last week, but I would love to dive in a little bit more here. What are your thoughts on this line that says, when a woman gives her heart to a man, it's his responsibility to cherish and protect it because he's the only one who knows how fragile it is.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. It was a good reminder. It takes you back to those initial roles, like of husband and wife, mm-hmm. and how God made us to fit together.
Yeah.
And while we're the glue, like they're the protector.
Yeah.
And it's not just a physical protection. It's just that reminder that you have our heart. Like you are the one when all else fails. Obviously God is number one.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you are the one that God paired me with on this earth to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just,
we talked about last week, like how, like you literally have the ability to crush.
Yeah.
Right. When you give your heart to someone, they're the ones that have the ability to crush you or help you flourish. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny you say, cause we had similar thoughts because I wrote down like, this is just a wonderful statement that captures how God intends love to be between a man and wife.
Yes.
Right. It's a beautiful gift from God when we don't botch it up in our, which I don't get me wrong. It's not like, for Derek and I, like everything's peachy all the time. I mean, we all go through little like tiffs, but they're not big explosions and they're not, they're just like, you know what? You go pray about it. I'm going to go pray about it. We'll see what God says, right?
Yeah.
Because we are having a difference of opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's not anything. Isn't that explosive? And I just love to watch too, how even watching like other people, like other couples, like how much when you, and I always say this, a man of God makes the best husband and a woman of God makes the best wife. Right. And we cannot be unequally yoked because when we do, then that friction comes in because you don't believe in God together. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I love watching, like, I just had a conversation with a colleague about her husband also works at the school. And she goes, you would never know how tender he really is with me. and how much he, because he doesn't put that out. He has a pretty like stern kind of gruff exterior. And I said, well, I'm going to tease him now that I know, like, oh, you really are a little, you know, sweet. And she goes, oh, you go ahead. He likes you. He would love it. He thinks it'd be fun. They're an older couple, you know. But I'm like, it's fun to see that in other couples, to see how the man really, like, to other people.
Yeah.
You kind of come off distance, but like your wife knows who you really are
and
how tender you are with her is wonderful. I loved that statement. All right. Did you like how Adam sat up and then he prayed for Sabrina until she fell asleep?
Yes.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Yes.
I was like, you go ahead and rest, honey. I'm going to sit here and pray. You know, and she ended up falling asleep. I loved it. It reminded me, like, Derek has done that for me so many times. And it's wonderful. Like, I don't even know he's doing it. Like, he just, like, I knew you were going to have a rough night because of things that we had talked about before we went to bed or whatever. And he goes, and so he, when we wake up in the morning, he goes, did you sleep okay? And I'll be like, yeah, actually, I slept better than I thought. He goes, okay, good, because I was praying for you. And I was like, aw. and then she puts in this great reminder of how God never abandons us. I don't know if I can find that line in here real quick, but any thoughts when you read through that? I love all her little nuggets of truth.
It's just great. Yeah. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Like but this, I mean, this book.
Oh yeah. Gosh. Who is this? Is this someone praying?
I believe so.
I think it's Sabrina praying.
Yeah.
And she goes, help me remember your.
Yes.
You love the fatherless and the orphans. That even when our parents abandon and desert us, you never will. Help me to be able to forgive as you forgave, because there's no way I'll be able to do that on my own. Which that was a startling discovery with her, which we'll talk about in a minute. But yeah. I don't want to share it. But yeah, it's this. Our parents may abandon us, but he never will.
Mm-hmm.
And then she followed that with another reminder about it's not how big our faith is, but how big our God is.
Yeah. Like this book just kind of fell. And I know there's a lot of personal stuff in my life going on right now and just, you know, loss and just a lot of stuff going on. But this book was just, I'm glad I'm reading it right now in this season because it is. It's those non-preachy golden nuggets, little God winks. Like, and when we got to this part in the book, I was having a particularly rough night and I'm reading to escape my life.
Yeah.
And I'm reading this and it just comes in. And, you know, when she's talking about how, you know, there may be 1,000 ways to do something or get it done. And while option 582 or whatever number she pulls out is painful, and we're like, how can you even put us here? It just, it's that good remember to know that God sees all 1,000, like where we're seeing 500, he sees 1,000.
Yeah.
And he knows that this is how you need to be refined. This is what is going to get you where you need to be my daughter, to be the best you. Mm-hmm. And reading this book in that time, like it was a hard reminder. Like,
like it hurts right now, God,
it does.
But you're with me.
But I hear you. Use this 582nd option is your choice and your will. And I need to accept that. And so it was a good nugget of truth, a very personal one at this time, but it was so good. Like just to remind you, like, and then the book and God is there. He is his sovereignty. Like, even though this stinks, like, I got you.
And bad things are happening.
Yeah.
Right. To good people.
Yeah.
But he's still with us. All right. My question to you was, did this truth bomb shock you? It's weird. Like, who Sabrina's parents really were comes out.
I don't think it would shock me. Like I said, you can't guess in these books. You had no idea. I was really disappointed and upset with who the real villain was.
Yeah.
It was sad. And like the mom, like
of that storyline, because this is
of
like
that storyline,
I think what did I put? What an incredible storyline, but it's like a subplot. I want to say it's a subplot to the main. It's connected because Sabrina's the connection piece, but it really doesn't have anything to do with their investigation, right? It does a little. I'm sorry. Yeah, they do weave, but I would consider it more a subplot because it doesn't give you like the main villain out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. just when you're thinking one thing. I mean, it's things aren't always what they seem, mm-hmm. but
yeah. It just totally shocked me. I was like, what? What did you think of Adam's proposal?
It was very sweet and honest.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was perfect for them.
Yes.
You know, I really liked it. All right. Let's look at the elements of the story. So what rating would you give the romance level?
I put espresso.
It's funny. I put espresso / mocha because I feel like this one didn't have as much romance as the first one.
Yeah.
Or the last one. What about the suspense level?
Latte.
Yes. Action?
Latte.
I put mocha. I'm going to put / latte so I can remember what you put. But, I mean, I could see you going into latte on it too because there's a lot of bit of...
It's a fine line because, yeah, some of it is just... It just kept going.
Like, yeah.
There were no lulls.
I think my issue is I compared it to the last book, which is like...
Different kinds of action.
Yeah. It's different kinds. Yeah. What about the mystery level?
Latte.
Yeah, me too. Drama?
Latte.
Yes. Mainly that drama comes in from... Both Sabrina and Adam's family have drama.
Mm-hmm. No, lots of drama.
Inspiration level.
Latte.
Oh, you gave latte. I went mocha again. I just think it's because the way she weaves it in, it just doesn't like overwhelm.
I think again, that was that this book was my little, like my husband calls them little God winks. Like I needed that book in that moment. So. For me, for inspirational, for me personally, this book just hit a lot of hard points for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true for it. Just like you said, like maybe just what you're going through at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is your overall lasso rating of Into Deep by Lynn H. Blackburn?
I gave 3 lassos.
I did too. I loved it. And just in case you don't know, 3 lassos is our highest. We only have 3 lassos total. That means it hooked and hog tied us. So. Wonderful. All right. Next week. Go ahead.
Real quick. We didn't even talk about it. And part of it is because we don't want to spoil anything.
Oh, yeah.
But I did pull a quote out and I wanted to see just in general what you thought.
Okay, go for it.
And I don't even have page number because I was in large print. But at some point, I think it's Sabrina says it just with what is going on in that book. She says sacrificial love on display in the face of depravity and inhumanity. That was a heavy quote, mm-hmm. just with what was going on, that sacrificial love, like their love, like just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just hearing it again, like I think I'm picturing the scene of where, I think I remember where that's at in the book. You're right. In the face of all that was going on, which you're right. I don't want to give away what was happening. Yeah, because it's
the
end.
Everything is, they're at the... They're all at that place and everything is
going down,
And they finally have a chance to talk. People are finally safe.
Mm-hmm.
And just, she's looking around. I believe one of them's looking around and they say, you know, just the sacrificial love in the face of everything that was going on, mm-hmm. knowing what they went through and just.
Yeah, I think it's we see this even today, mm-hmm. like people who have come out of things that we think, how do you even move on?
Yeah.
From this, they're just really tragic situations.
Yeah.
It's just a huge display of God's love and his mm-hmm. ability to heal us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when I look at that group, I think, how do you function at mm-hmm. this point? Right.
Yeah.
It's not to say you're not going to have bad days. Like it'll come back and haunt you at some point. But yeah, it is amazing to see like. How God pulls us mm-hmm. through those and uses us.
Yeah. And the selflessness that they all had. Like,
yeah.
There was no ounce of self-preservation. Mm-hmm. They had to stay together for a reason. And mm-hmm. not one of them said to heck with everybody else.
Like, right. It was all or none.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that was cool. Yeah.
Okay. It kind of reminds you of Jesus and his parable about the shepherd going for the one. Like mm-hmm. these 99 are safe. And I need to go for the one because it's all or none.
Yeah.
Right. It's all or none. Yeah. I love it. Awesome. All right. Next week, we're going to discuss One Final Breath, which is the last book in this awesome series. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.